the Lamb. I shall speak of the Lamb of God. You may be seated. To every Bible scholar, every Hebrew scholar, our Bible story this morning is the picture of unspeakable shame. Abraham, by order of God himself, on the way to Moriah with his beloved son Isaac, a child of laughter, long-awaited son of promise, to slay the child and sacrifice him on a flaming altar as an ascending offering to God. You heard the story as Holly read it. For all the dozens or even hundreds of times that I have heard and read this story at Genesis 22, I cannot handle it. It stirs my horror and grief as no other story ever has or could. A child, a little boy, a man's beloved son. I cannot bear it. Abraham. Abraham, is faith so blind, Abraham? And Abraham, are you sure? Are you sure it was God? Surely not, Abraham. Looking at the same story in the Holy Quran, Islamic scholars say God would never demand such a thing, that it could not have been God. But for us, if unspeakably so, who could ever again worship a God who would demand such horror, outrage, and to blasphemy? In some small defense of Father Abraham, part of the rabbinical response to this story is that when God said, "Take your son, your only son," Abraham interrupted, correcting God, "I have two sons." Then when God went on, "Isaac, whom you love," Abraham corrected God, "I love them both." And Abraham did love them both. He loved his firstborn son Ishmael, was deeply grieved when Sarah banished the boy along with his mother Hagar. And Abraham loved Isaac, child of laughter, child of his ancient age, God's own gift of love, destiny, heritage, child of Sarah, beloved son of eternal promise. Take your son, Isaac, whom you love. Go to the land of Moriah and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering. And so begins the incredible story of stunned horror. One visualizes Abraham's grim, set countenance. With the Hebrew scholars, one hears the weeping, shrieking screams of the boy's mother at dawn, as his father tears her hands loose from her only son and leaves her curled into a knot on the ground, sobbing uncontrollably as Abraham sets out on a three-day journey of the dead to execute the will of God. One understands the legend, the ancient rabbinical wisdom, that as from that moment, Sarah never again spoke to Abraham or to Abraham's God. The stuff of nightmares. How can we face this? How do we deal with this? Where can we find God's blessing in a nightmare? Fools and simpletons rationalize God, justify God, to save God. God doesn't need to be saved by us. We can say stupid things. Well, it was okay. After all, it was only a test, God testing Abraham, that God never meant for the boy to have his throat slit, never meant for Abraham to sin, to commit murder, the ultimate horror of infanticide, fully intended to stop it at the last moment. What a crock, skibbleon, what utter nonsense. There is no excuse. There is no excusing. How do we escape from this story with Abraham justified and our God intact, unscathed, and unscarred? Mainline Christian scholars do not know what to say. We are left speechless, utterly speechless. knowing not that they know not, thinking they must justify God. Some Christian scholars speak rationalizing nonsense. Hebrew scholars, blessedly, do not know how to explain the story except as an embarrassment, the shame of the ages. The best Islamic scholarship says that Abraham had it wrong. Abraham had it all wrong. He misunderstood that the command came not from God but from the devil. But that's not what our Bible says. It says, God said, Abraham. And Abraham said, here am I. And God said, take your son. My heart is broken. And yet here's the gospel. All Holy Scripture points to Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, who for our sake came down from heaven as was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. This God of ours who goes to the cross for us, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who calls each of us to our own cross. So God loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. On a Sunday in June, we did not expect to end up on Good Friday, but here we are on Calvary's Hill at the foot of the cross, not with the son of Abraham, Isaac, who was spared, but with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died in agony for your sins and mine, that we might live forever. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died He for me who caused His pain, for me who Him to death pursued? Amazing love. How can it be that Thou, my God, shouldst die for me? The very best top salvation hymn of Wesley. It can be, because it is, and it is the heart and cornerstone of Christian faith and Christian believing. You heard it. You heard the story as Holly read it. I'm afraid you missed it. Listen again. Listen carefully this time to the story. In this story, to the pathos of the ages, as Abraham in deepest grief makes his way across the wilderness to the altar of his son Isaac. Abraham and God and a lamb. It's the King James Version. And you are there. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. And so they went on, the both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide Himself. God will provide Himself the lamb for the offering, my son. The gift of God for the people of God. God has provided Himself. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.